cutting out the fat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A few minutes from now, President Obama will officially order a crackdown on waste and cost overruns in government procurement. He'll sign a presidential memorandum seeking to, in the White House's words, reform our broken system of government contracting. The president estimates this will save up to $40 billion a year. Also today, the administration launches that new program to help borrowers stay in their homes. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. But first, here's a change. The Dow is up so far this morning, up 98 points, or 1.5%. The NASDAQ is up 22 points. That's 1.7%. And the S&P 500 also up 1.7%, or about 12 points. Asian markets were sharply higher on the day. European markets are up 2-3% at this hour. As I mentioned, the White House today kicks off a new program meant to help up to 9 million borrowers keep their homes. This is the plan that lets homeowners refinance mortgages or modify loans to lower monthly payments. Treasury has released guidelines to let lenders know how to enroll borrowers. Borrowers can find out whether they're eligible by logging onto a website, and there's a link to that site at marketplace.org. Another part of the program gives bankruptcy judges the ability to modify mortgages. That's quite a power. Last night, Democrats reached an agreement to reduce that power somewhat. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
It's being called the cram-down mortgage bill. That's because it crams a mortgage banks don't want down their throats. Right now, when a person can't pay the mortgage on their primary residence, banks hold all the cards. They can cut you a break on the loan, or they can foreclose on you. The bill in Congress would empower bankruptcy judges to step in. The judge could force the lender to cut the principal on a loan, lower the interest rate, or even extend the life of the loan. Real estate expert Elise Glink publishes thinkglink.com.
Nobody wants to go into bankruptcy court. This is a last-ditch place, but if it gets to this point, I think the judges need this mechanism to process these cases and get them through.
Banks have lobbied hard against the bill, and Congress has made some concessions. Homeowners must prove they tried unsuccessfully to work things out with the bank, and banks get a piece of the profits if the home is ever sold. The House could vote on the bill as early as tomorrow. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Of course, it's hard to meet your mortgage payments when you don't have a job. This morning, a survey of the private sector shows job cuts accelerated last month. ADP Employer Services tells us private employers cut 697,000 jobs in February, up 13.5% from January. And yes, that was worse than economists' expectations. Now, if you do get laid off, you are usually lucky to leave with a couple of weeks' pay. But here's a novel approach. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith tells us about an ad agency that is investing in its workers even as they go out the door.
How's this for a resume enhancer? Your old employer pays your new employer half your first month's salary. That's the deal being offered by the Martin Agency, a Virginia-based advertising firm. It will pay up to $4,000 to companies that hire one of the two dozen workers it just laid off.
It seems like it's working very, very well.
Beth Riley Kelly is a partner at the Martin Agency.
We've gotten so many calls from employers who are bringing to our attention positions that they have at their companies that they think might be a match for our employees.
And there's more than money in it for prospective employers, says John Challenger, CEO of global outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas.
It says to the hiring company, I can take a look at this person, it's not going to cost me anything, and if it's everything I thought it was going to be, then we can go ahead and turn it into a full-time job.
Even though it might make things a little more competitive for its ex-employees, the Martin Agency says it hopes other companies will follow its lead. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Wednesday, March 4th at marketplace.org. More bad news from the auto industry this week. We found out yesterday car sales in the U.S. plunged 41% last month. The situation isn't looking any better in Europe. General Motors' European wing is looking for a bailout there. Christopher Wirth reports.
GM's financial troubles are on display at the Geneva Motor Show this week. That's where the head of GM Europe said the company's burning through money to keep its European operations afloat. Now GM says 3,500 jobs could be cut in Germany if the country doesn't step up. GM wants more than $4 billion in aid from the German government. The job cuts would come at its German subsidiary, Opel. The company says the plan would be to grant Opel more autonomy, with GM as a majority stakeholder. But German Chancellor Angela Merkel isn't showing any desire to bail out the carmaker. And Germany's not the only European door GM is pounding. The company has been in talks for aid with Britain, Spain, and others with GM factories. It's estimated that up to 300,000 European jobs, from suppliers to dealers, depend on the carmaker. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Swiss banking colossus UBS lost its CEO last week. Now its chairman is on the way out. Peter Kurer says he'll step down in April at the end of his one-year term. UBS shares have fallen by a third this year, and the bank took a government bailout last fall. UBS is also embroiled in a fight with U.S. tax officials. The IRS accuses the bank of helping rich Americans skip out on their taxes. Today, a Senate committee holds a hearing on those famous unnamed Swiss bank accounts. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the story.
U.S. authorities are suing UBS. They want financial data on as many as 52,000 Americans who are allegedly using secret Swiss accounts to avoid income tax. Sponsors of a law to crack the code of international bank secrecy say we lose $100 billion a year to this kind of fraud.
It's about 5% of the income tax revenues that we collect now.
That's Bob McIntyre of Citizens for Tax Justice. His group wants the IRS to increase staffing and hunt down these tax cheats.
In terms of the bang for the buck, for every IRS agent you had working on this, paying them $100,000 or whatever it costs, you'd probably collect 50 times as much because there's so much money out there.
But defenders of Switzerland's long tradition of bank secrecy say not everyone who has an account with them is dodging the tax man. They say that many depositors have legitimate privacy concerns and shouldn't be exposed to a global scavenger hunt for hidden wealth by the IRS. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The federal payroll could swell by tens of thousands of workers under the president's proposed budget. More staff will be needed to help carry out new plans or overhaul existing programs in such areas as health care, energy independence, and education. From Washington, Ronnie Radbill reports.
The administration touted more private sector growth with its $3.6 trillion spending plan. But what the proposal creates are thousands of new government jobs. Max Steyer, president of the Partnership for Public Service, says this is long overdue.
The federal government has been on a starvation diet for quite some time. Our direct headcount today is no larger than it was during the 1960s.
It's not known exactly how many new workers will be hired. Some estimates put the number as high as 250,000. One agency that'll get a boost is the Social Security Administration. Commissioner Mike Astrew says his budget could increase by 10%.
We're going to be hiring over 5,000 people in the last 6 months of the fiscal year. It's actually quite a challenge for us. We've been planning for this for a number of months.
But critics say adding tens of thousands of new government jobs will only keep federal spending at current levels. In the words of one naysayer, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
A study out this morning shows that one in five U.S. homeowners owe more to their mortgage lenders than their homes are worth, and that number will rise as the housing slump spreads. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
It's no secret that price declines have ravaged the housing market. But a study by American CoreLogic shows that more and more homeowners have negative equity. Real estate agents often call that being underwater. The study shows more than 8 million properties were underwater at the end of last year. That's up 9% from the quarter before. Experts say 62% of underwater borrowers come from six states: Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Ohio. Those borrowers account for 41% of mortgages there. New York is in the best shape when it comes to homes with negative equity. Around the country, 20% of borrowers are underwater. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Observers on both the right and the left are calling President Obama's new budget plan the end of an era. Obama's call for the rich to pay more to ease the burden on the middle and lower class is quite different from the philosophy established by Ronald Reagan. Commentator Robert Reich says Reagan's approach didn't exactly work out as planned.
After more than a quarter century, the era of Reaganomics is over, replaced by Obamanomics. The first principle of Reaganomics was that lower taxes on the wealthy made them work harder and invest more, and the benefits trickle down to everyone else. Rarely in economic history has a theory been tested in the real world and proven so wrong. Nothing trickled down. After the Reagan tax cuts, the median wage slowed, adjusted for inflation. After George W. Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy, the median wage actually dropped. Meanwhile, most of the income went to the top. In 1980, just before the Reagan Revolution, the richest 1% took home 9% of total national income. But by 2007, the richest 1% was taking home 22%. Obamanomics, by contrast, will increase taxes on the top, and it will use these proceeds to raise the living standards of average Americans by giving them lower taxes, better schools, and more affordable health insurance. Reaganomics' second principle was that deregulated markets function better. Well, energy markets were deregulated and we wound up with Enron. Carbon emissions weren't controlled and now we face global warming. Financial markets were deregulated and we have a global financial meltdown. Obamanomics, by contrast, accepts important roles for government, creating incentives for non-fossil-based energy, setting an overall cap on carbon emissions, and ensuring the solvency and security of financial companies. The third and least well-known principle of Reaganomics is that government can keep the economy moving full tilt by spending like crazy and not worrying too much about budget deficits. Reagan's big spending was on national defense. Some of us called it military Keynesianism. Problem was, it didn't stop when the economy got to capacity, thereby threatening inflation. Obama's stimulus intends to avoid inflation by reducing deficits as the nation moves back toward full capacity. Under Reaganomics, government is the problem. It can still be a problem, but Obamanomics at least recognizes there are even bigger problems out there that can't be solved without government.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. The Dow was up 100 a few minutes ago. Now it's up a mere 1 point. It's 6,817. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.